Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 5, wrapping up this study on the humble from verses 6 through 11. Today we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11 of 1 Peter 5, where he says, "And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, Garrett, let's talk about a little bit about what's going on here. First of all, he talks about suffering and glory in this verse 10, which are two concepts that he's talked about a lot in 1 Peter. But there's something significant about that. In 1 Peter, he always, when he mentions these two, suffering always comes first, and glory always comes after the suffering. So what's the significance of that?
I mean, that's the way that it's going to happen. The way he's talked about suffering is something that is temporal. It's something that's passing away, but it's something that's here right now. And so he says, you've suffered for a little while. That's a generic term that he's used before. But, you know, you're not going to have to suffer for long, but you might suffer now. And so you're going to have to go through that. But you're going to get eternal glory, something that lasts forever. That's what's going to come after the suffering. Glory is this term that he's been using throughout the book to talk about this idea that, you know, whenever we go to be with the Lord, he's going to give us glory, that we're going to be glorified by the God of the universe because we've continued to choose him despite the suffering that we may face right now.
Yeah, I love that play on the a little while and eternal, because how long is a little while? Well, who knows? Maybe the rest of your life.
It's certainly shorter than eternal.
That's right. Compared to eternity, it's just a little while. And then he says that the God of all grace who called you, he called you. He wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to be a part of his inheritance. But then he tells us these four interesting words that he is going to tell us that what he does for us, the God of all grace, is going to do for us. Four words. First of all, he says he's going to perfect us.
Yeah, he says to perfect us or restore us, another translation says. But the idea, the definition is to cause to be in a condition to function well, to put in order or to restore. The idea is he's going to take what was imperfect before, he's going to take what was broken down, and he's going to put it in a good working condition. You think about people who are, you know, restoring cars or rebuilding engines. They're taking something that's old and broken down, it's not working, and they're putting it back into a complete working condition. That's what he says the Lord is going to do with us.
Yeah, it's actually the same. It's not the normal word for perfect that we normally see in the original language. This is the word that's used in Mark chapter 1 and in Matthew chapter 4 when it talks about them mending nets. So he's going to mend us. He's going to put us back together. The second thing he says that he's going to do for us is to confirm us.
Yeah, the word there means to fix firmly in a place, to set up or to establish, to support, that we are, he's going to confirm us by putting us in the right place, put us where we belong and establish us where we need to be, put us on our own two feet kind of thing. You know, maybe this is, if you want to continue, maybe this is putting it in the car. I don't know, after you're done rebuilding it. But you put it where it belongs so that it can function and do what it's been called to do.
Yeah, this is the same word that is used in James 5:8, talking about establishing your hearts for the day the coming of the Lord is at hand. So then he says to strengthen. God is going to, he's going to confirm, restore us, confirm us, and then strengthen us.
Yeah, the strengthen is obvious. I mean, it's kind of a self-explanatory word, but he's going to make us stronger than we would be without him. You know, we've been emphasizing before this mighty hand of God that he mentions back in verse 6. Well, that mighty hand, the power and the authority that the Lord has, is also going to be one that strengthens us and makes us stronger than we would be without him, especially spiritually, in a time where they need to be strengthened, they need to be encouraged, they need to be lifted up, and that's what Jesus is, the Lord is going to do for them.
Yeah, I had someone ask me one time, does that mean he's going to make us strong, or he's going to give us his strength? And I said, yes.
Both.
Number four, he's going to establish you.
Yeah, he said he's going to establish you. The word is to means to provide a base for a material object or structure, to lay a foundation. The ESV says to establish you, but the idea is that you're laying a foundation that it's not going to go anywhere. Once you're established, once you're set in place, once you're confirmed, if you use the other word, you're not going to go anywhere. Jesus tells the parable of the one who built his house on the sand and the one who built his house on the rock. Well, this is that idea, that he's going to establish you on the rock, that once you're set in place, you're not going to fade away, that you're set on something that's sure.
And I think it's interesting, all these four things he's doing for us, he doesn't do it before we suffer. He says after you have suffered a little while, he's going to do all of those things for us. So that's interesting as well, don't you mm-hmm. think?
Yeah.
Well, then in verse 11, he says that he reminds us again of the rule and reign of God. To God be dominion. If he's going to do all that after you suffer, then let him reign. Let him take over. Remember the outcome and be willing to let him be Lord of your life and do what he says. And that's ultimately the entire message of the book of 1 Peter. But we still have a few more verses to go, so we hope that you'll keep studying along with us as we wind down the last few verses of this great letter written by Peter, of 1 Peter. We hope that you will like, share, subscribe, comment, do all the social media and podcast following kind of things that helps get the word out about Scripture Spotlight. I hope that you will tell others about it and that you will encourage others to study along with us. I hope that you will dedicate 5 to 10 minutes every day with us as we continue to study through God's Word. We're not going to end at 1 Peter. We're going to keep going. And I hope that you'll continue to spend maybe your morning drive or while you're getting ready for work or in the evening at some point while you're relaxing or any point during the day where you have 5 or 10 minutes that you will study along with us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.